Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris. The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
No one's laughing at Dan Campbell now, damn it. Say what you want about the guy, but he is... What did Ruthie say about him, just about his authenticity? You know, earlier today during transition, you were busy. Yeah, she just talked about how genuine he is, how authentic he is, and... I can't speak to the way a player would really feel about him. You know, I can speak the way I feel about, you know, my bosses and leaders for whom that I've worked, and it's always different. You are a former player.
Mm-hmm.
You're a former Detroit Lion, in fact.
Right.
This is the speech that Dan Campbell gave to his team after the game last night, remembering that the game didn't mean anything. The outcome didn't mean anything, and he played his guys. And they won, and here's what he said.
I got an unbelievable amount of respect for you guys. I know what this was. And there's all these arguments about what did this game really mean, because the next week, I respect the f*** out of you guys. I respect the f*** out of how we roll the ball out, and you guys just go out and compete. I can't even put it into words, man. I cannot put it into words. I love the hell out of you guys. I love the hell out of you guys. Listen, we did some things. We got 14 wins. All right, we already talked about once we got to where we were at, 13, that we franchise record. 14's a franchise record. 8-0 on the road. Franchise record. All right, 8-0 on the road. Which tells you, at its worst, we can go anywhere and win, gentlemen. That's the bottom line. Listen, you can't ask for anything better. To be able to have the division and the one seat on the line back at home. Guys, this is what it's all about. This is why you're in this profession, man. This is as good as it gets. We're so thankful for this opportunity. This can be unbelievable. Appreciate you guys, man. It's a hell of a job. It's a hell of a ride, and we got one more. Break it down.
Where does that stand on your scale?
I like it. I mean, it's one of those chicken or egg types of conversations, because the Vikings' successful locker room and hoisting Sam Darnold up on their shoulders, the Lions' successful locker rooms where, you know, Dan Campbell just sounds hoarse and is using, you know, colloquialisms and is just talking about love and things that, you know, would likely be scoffed at if it wasn't such a successful season. But when you're in the midst of that and you can see, and you know, like the term Ruthie used there, that it comes off so authentic, his passion, his love for his guys, and for what last night's game was. I spoke to you guys about it a bit yesterday. It struck me as such an awkward game, because there's a variety of ways that that game could have been approached. If, you know, Hall of Famer Tony Dungy had that game awaiting his team, he'd have sat everybody.
And it would not necessarily have been wrong.
You can make a logical case for why that makes perfect sense, because if Jahmyr Gibbs gets hurt in that game last night where he runs for over 100 yards, or if Jared Goff gets his ankle turned by Nick Bosa bursting into the backfield, beating somebody on a block, and now your end goal is jeopardized because of that. Next week is jeopardized because of that. But that's just not how Man Campbell rolls. When there's a game to be played, when this roster is available to him to go out and play some football, he's going to put his best on the line to play football. And fortunately, they came out of that game without what appear to be any significant injuries, and they're ready to close out the NFL regular season with the division title on the line in the best division in football, and that's who that squad is. I respect the hell out of it.
So I found something interesting to pair with this, and it's a comment that Cole Kmet made. And the reason why I find it interesting is when you read it, and if it were coming from a commentator or an analyst or a talk show host, it would hit differently than it does coming from a current player, a current captain of a team in the division, talking about the success that other teams have had in this division.
Obviously, three really good coaches, and like I said, three different styles, but all styles that that have great buy-in from you know, from those players, and they're executing at a high level. So, you know, obviously, I'm sure here they're hard at work trying to find the next head coach here, and you know, it's obviously it's a tough challenge coming in here with the division that we got, but you know, also a great opportunity, and you know, looking forward to see where it heads in that in terms of that direction.
So here's what I underlined. There are three different styles, three styles that have great buy-in from those players. That's a current player saying that.
Yeah.
I found that meaningful.
Yeah, very much so. And I was in a Lions locker room that was not bought into what Marty Morningweg was doing. And there was a bunch of veterans who weren't digging it. There were young guys like myself who were confused at the direction things were going. And I know what that feels like. I also know what it's like in the early portion of Jim Mora's time in Atlanta, where you eventually make an NFC championship game, and how exciting that was, and the energy he brought to things, and all the buy-in that was there in those initial seasons that he was running things with the Falcons. And it can feel drastically, dramatically different. And it doesn't guarantee you sustainability, because there's so much that has to go right to have sustainability at the level the Chiefs are in the midst of right now, or we've never seen anything like
that.
The Patriots special
were. Like aspiring to that is great, but that is, it's the kind of thing that even if you recognize it as it's going on, you know how remarkable it is.
But to get a moment in time, like right now for the Vikings, maybe this is just a moment in time, and for them to do everything they can to seize it and capitalize on it, they got to be bought in at least for this year. And then 2025 is going to be its own little microcosm, its own little vacuum, its own season that is going to be very unique and different from other seasons. But for this year, that buy-in matters. And it was so obviously not there for the Bears. And the players recognized it. And then at the time they were trying to do anything about it, it was obviously painfully too late to try and course correct at that point.
And it also tells you that they'll know relatively early. You know, they know who they're going to follow out onto that field.
There will still have to be tangible results, though. You know, because that enhances the buy-in.
Yes.
Things were awful for like a year and a half in Detroit when Dan Campbell was first there. And then the tangible evidence of results enhanced. They supported what he was putting out there. They supported his approach to things because the team developed and they began to win. And so all the other stuff that maybe was worthy of question, and you're wondering how much of this matters, and schematically, is he going for too many fourth downs because they were going awry at first, and the defense was giving up chunk plays?
Yeah, he looked reckless and stupid until he didn't.
Until he didn't, exactly. So you have to find that marriage. The buy-in and the belief matters. There was buy-in and belief closing out 2023 with Matt Eberflus. And then it got to a point pretty early this year where there was just no there.
Do you think there was, though? I doubt that. There might have been from above Eberflus. Because I don't know.
Why would you doubt that when you look at the results at the end of the season last year? They were playing good football. So that was there.
But I think the point you made is that it's chicken and the egg. That sure, they might have been playing good football, but we don't know what starts what. And maybe they started playing good football and they got excited for the next year. Like, all right, now here we go.
Yeah.
But then their effort wasn't necessarily reciprocated from coaching doing right by them. Certainly in the hiring that the coaches made, however you want to define coaching. So I always would be curious about the extent. Were there always doubts? I was like, yeah, our coach is kind of an idiot, but we'll be fine.
I think they were all growing along a path together. You know, and there were other headlines and shiny objects like what's going to happen with Justin, what's going to happen with the top pick. And
right.
We, you know, with a lot of, you know, there were other things to kind of track within the locker room and externally. And as they're all growing together, they're winning. And, yeah, those matters. Like, you know, I know you played back some of the Eberflus post games where they were joyous after a win. And, like, you know what? All right, this doesn't sound too bad. No, I think the players, there might have always been a question mark at the end of it to a certain extent. But they were in the process of building something. You recognize that when it's happening. The Bears' defense was certainly bought in. And then there was just too many boneheaded late-game decisions and the mismanagement of so many things. So, yeah, you can definitely be out after you were previously in. They were definitely out, you know, after a little time in this season here. But I think last year they were bought in, and then things went awry.
Tim Jenkins will break down the latest Caleb Williams performance and will take his temperature on how he's doing being a Bears fan or against his will. It's really quite a science experiment that's going on here. So we'll check in with it next.